Welcome, everyone, to the Space Game Junkie Podcast. I, as always, am your co-host, Brian, and joining me, as always, is your co-host, Jim.
Hold on a second. I got to check Steam. Oh, wait, it's over.
Shit,
there's
it's
nothing
over.
To see.
It's such an empty feeling.
Yeah, it's like quitting cold turkey after like a 2 week long like crack binge. You know,
yeah.
where you're on a schedule too, man. You have to get your dose every 8 hours, or you just wonder like, oh God, I'm going to miss something.
I know, right? So, folks, we're kind of going to be all over the place tonight. We were going to talk about marketing, and we still will talk a little bit about that. But we also wanted to talk about some news and the Steam sale. So it's kind of going to be an off-on topic show.
Yeah, I heard Steam got sold. They sold it somebody.
You know what some reason that reminds me of? You watched Animaniacs, right?
I might have walked past the TV when it was on.
It's
one of my sins.
There was an amazing episode where a guy was having a garage sale, and the Warner Brothers and the sister wanted to buy. He was like being a dick to everyone, selling all his useless crap. But the Warner Brothers and their sister wanted to buy the garage, and they just wore this guy down to a point where he had nothing left and had to buy the garage, had to sell the garage.
So it would be like a yard sale, and then you come home and the grass is gone.
Pretty much. It's one of my favorite episodes. It's an early one too. You should try and make a way to watch that, because it's still – there's some 90s-esque stuff in there.
Yeah.
There's some timely stuff in there, but some of the stuff in there is just – most of the stuff in there is timeless.
I think you should be watching the Clone Wars. Not the crappy 3D one, but the one that I sent you.
No, that one is
awesome.
Not crappy. That one is not crappy. And like I said, a coworker is going to lend me the DVDs. There's two DVDs, and he's going to lend them to me soon, I hope. So I will watch it. I want to. I've been watching the Clone Wars, folks, the computer animated one, the CGI one. Oh, it's good. It's surprisingly good. I was like, oh, God, more Star Wars. I was really like mad at Star Wars for like the longest time, and this is like rekindling my love of Star Wars. And Jim, and you and I were talking about this today. You put like in chat, you put a list of all the Star Wars crap coming up. There's like three movies and four shows.
Yeah,
and like one of the shows is animated, but three of them are live action.
Yeah, it's a lot of Star Wars coming.
A lot of Star Wars.
Basically, they are going to drop a Star Wars product every single year from now to 2020.
Yeah, there's
it's all
for
locked
like
in.
The next several years, there's just not going to be a time where there won't be something Star Wars-ish to see, it looks like.
I wonder if I will just be sick of it. You know, because
I don't know.
I'm so turned off by the whole prequel thing just burnt me so bad that
I don't know
if I want more.
This isn't any of that. And the thing about the prequels is, like I said, I've been watching the Clone Wars. It's kind of like mouthwash. It's washing that shit out. Seriously,
okay.
It's really – I'm not kidding. It's like washing away the sins of the prequels. I'm still in the first season, but it's good.
Does it have Mace Windu in it?
He does show up every now and again.
Okay.
And sadly, it has Jar Jar, but not very much.
That's good. Small doses.
And Anakin is actually not annoying, like, at all.
Incredible.
But, yeah, I know. No, they actually got – it's actually written well, and
yeah.
It has good battles and good dialogue and lessons. And it's like, wow, this is good.
Is there like a moral of the story every week?
There kind of is, but here's what happens. Like, you know where it says a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away?
Yeah.
At the beginning of every episode, it like does that, but it's like a saying about what the moral is for that episode.
Uh-huh. Do they have like a G.I. Joe PSA at the end?
No, nothing like that.
Oh.
And knowing is half the
battle. I know, right? Like, knowing is half the battle, and the other half of the battle is split equally between red and blue lasers. So
that can't hit anything. So let's dive into some news real quick. Let's see what's been interesting. There's a new AI War expansion coming out. I think that is the sixth one.
Destroyer of Worlds.
I know. I love that name. Maybe it'll actually get me to not be terrified of the game. I've played it for like an hour or two, and it is kind of terrifying.
It's daunting.
It is daunting. Just kind of like Last Federation is daunting in a different way.
I just can't deal with an RTS where you have too much stuff going on. right? And, Distant Worlds Universe syndrome. You can automate it, right? But yeah. I don't know about, like, AI war is just kind of like, we're going to drop all this in your lap. Pow.
That is how it feels. That really is how it feels.
Yeah, like if you could start out and it's just like this planet versus that planet and I build a few things and then ramp up into that. But I've seen YouTube videos. That's like the worst thing I could have done was watch YouTube videos.
That have like 8 million units or whatever.
It's like crazy sim ant farm warfare thing, you know, where it's just like every pixel on the screen is a ship and they're all shooting each other. And it's like, oh, God, how would I... No, I can't process that. So
yeah, you know what? I love that the game. I've said this before. I love that the game exists, and I love that there are people who get it and collect it. I love that.
Oh, it's totally a game that's awesome for other people.
Yeah, but I don't think it's awesome for me, and I'm starting to learn that about The Last Federation too, which is sad because I want to like it. I really want to like it, and yet it's still daunting in its own way. Like every time I try to play it, I get overwhelmed. I don't want to get overwhelmed, but I do.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, you know, Mr. Park does not make shallow games.
No.
So, you know,
I did love A Valley Without Wind 1 and 2. I played a decent chunk of that. And Bionic Dews is pretty good.
Yeah.
It's, like, really good.
So you reminded me. You said A Valley Without Wind. And
yeah.
Did you see, what is it called, like, Cult of the Sky that's on Steam? It just released, like, right after the sale.
Oh, no, I didn't.
Did you? Oh my God.
That was like that's the worst time to release anything.
I know, but...
Why would you do that to yourself?
Okay, Cult of the Wind is these people that run around with their arms out, and it's humans
they're airplanes. To be planes or something.
Yeah,
I heard
and it's
about
like
that.
Capture the flag, and you can actually shoot each other and stuff.
What?
Unfortunately, they don't make... like human airplane noises, right? Like you should hear like wow, you know. But yeah, but they actually have real like sound effects that sound
what?
A thing, and it should honestly be people being like pow pow pow, you know. But it's,
what? Well, yeah. It's got pretty mostly so far. It's got mostly positive though, and there aren't a lot of reviews, but they're mostly positive.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing about that game is like it could be super fun. Just weird, right? You know what else is free today is that dinosaur game, Dino D-Day.
It's that
World War II soldiers versus Nazi
terrible,
dinosaurs.
That...
It is terrible. That's the thing that's great.
That looks so horrible.
It's free and it's hilarious because you have dinosaurs with tank turrets on their back and then Nazi soldiers running with them. And wow. And on the Americans, they have their own dinosaur, right? But it's like, he's like a little baby triceratops with a machine gun on his back.
What?
And it's like, it's our newest recruit, Buster, or whatever the hell his name is. It's stupid. But the whole thing has like the World War II propaganda posters and stuff. And it's very much like Captain America with dinosaurs. It's got that vibe. It's like some comic book weird shit. I like it. Because it's a game that you just know sucks going into it. And it's just like, it's delightful in how much it sucks. And you have no expectations.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about some Steam stuff we have found in a moment. Let's get through the news real quick and then we'll just do that. Let's see what else is going on. Did you hear about this? Rebellion, the game company Rebellion, like sued Stardock. For their use of the word rebellion.
For using the word rebellion.
In Sins of Solar Empire Rebellion.
You know what? Then I hope Disney puts out a Star Wars Rebellion and then the shit out of them. I know there was already a game.
Yeah, okay.
But I'm just saying, you know, now Disney's got that IP, so they should be like, oh, yeah? Okay. Pow. And just hit them with it.
Oh, Nax is in the chat. He bounced off of AI Wars several times. No kidding. I mean, I've tried it a few times. Like, oh, God, I love games, but I don't love games. Like, I don't want to stick my dick in a game to get it. I feel like I have to do that with that game.
I know. It's like you just want to dip your balls in it. What are you talking about? I don't even know. What?
Remember that? Was that in the state? Remember that? I want to dip my balls in it. Remember that?
Yes, I do remember that.
Yes. Okay, good.
Not alone. I think it was Kids in the Hall, actually.
No, it was the State.
That was it the State? Okay.
That was totally the State. I wanted, that was the same one that had Barry and LeVon, remember?
Oh,
what are you going to do with $240 worth of pudding?
Oh, yeah.
Don't you worry, I'll put a little head about it.
Oh, yeah. $240 worth of pudding. Yeah, that's honestly like one of my favorite skits ever.
Oh, God, no, I will never – that skit, first time I saw that, I couldn't breathe. I was laughing so fucking hard. I don't even know what it is about that skit, but it's just something about it.
I don't know, and I really love that period of 70s boogie cool.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, yeah.
So some big Star Citizen news. Did you hear that Tony Zurovec is working for them now?
What? I have no idea who that is.
Oh, he made Crusader No Remorse.
Oh, Crusader
No Regret.
Yeah, that guy. Now.
Well, like the rest of us. I don't know about old.
Grandpa Vidya Games. I wonder like how long it's before like the coders start dying off, like the legends. Yeah, I mean, we've lost some along the way, but we haven't lost any super epic legends.
No, yet. Like we didn't lose like a Warren Spector or a John Carmack
The people from Sierra Online are still.
Yeah, like Roberts. What are their names? Was it Roberts? No.
I can't remember. But anyway,
fuck. What were their names? Yeah. Who's Danny Butin? Nax said Danny Butin.
Oh, yeah. Dan Bunton, who did Pinball Construction Set. And then it's Danny, okay, because it was Dan Bunton who did Pinball Construction Set. And then he had sort of a Wachowski brother conversion and became Danny Bunton, right, and passed away. Yeah, he was trans.
Oh, my God. He made the Seven Cities of Gold?
Oh, really?
Oh, I love that game. Didn't that just come up on GOG? I think it did. GOG. I think that came up on GOG recently, also kind of got lost in their sale as well.
Yeah. So
yeah, there it is.
I'm holding off. I want to dive into this list of games because I've doubled my backlog in the last week. But
okay, well let's plug the news through. Then.
Yeah,
I mean, there's not a hell of a lot to talk about. There was, but nothing huge. I mean, we talked about this the other day. Void Destroyer is a new iteration coming out, and you're not happy with it.
Well, yeah. I mean, he just refuses to put the altitude poles in. It's like, come on, Paul.
I know.
You can do this.
I know.
It's just that game has a lot of potential, but I can't deal with that map because it's too weird to me. So, whatever.
It's still in early access. Found a lot of new games recently. Star Nomad I'd never heard of before, and the dev contacted me. I found a bunch of other crap like Outlier Up in Skies and Imperia. Oh, and
yeah,
and
Star Nomad. Star Nomad's that one that you sent me, right?
It's also an Android game.
Oh, I was going to say that game begs to be a touch interface game because is laid out like it's on a tablet. So
it really is. There's a new interesting looking game called Imperia, which they're calling a 5X, not a 4X, a 5X. And someone actually asked if we could bring the developer of that one on the show, so I reached out to him.
Yeah.
So should have him on soon.
Okay.
But that's like and there are a bunch of games that were greenlit, like Ensign One and Retro Booster and Planet Ship and just a bunch of other great stuff.
Yeah, I see this Gangs of Space. Is that going to be like
an
unexpected – well, I think it's about the Irish immigrants that –
Oh, I thought it was I thought it was West Side Story in space. That's what
it's the Irish immigrants in New York and their street gang. That was a movie I wasn't expecting to be what it was.
Oh, that movie was crazy.
Yes.
Crazy.
Shallow Space?
Oh yeah, a bunch of shit about Shallow Space, new UI, a lot of pictures. I can't wait for more of that game. Star Citizen again, 47 million. Fuck.
I know, right? It just won't quit.
It just keeps going. They just had a sale. They had two sales. First, they had a sale on the Freelancer upgrade, which I really resisted. I really wanted to upgrade my Freelancer, and I didn't. I wanted to, but I didn't. And then they had like an alien ship you could buy, which looked pretty cool. But it was $150. I'm like, if I'm going to spend $150 right now, I'm going to buy the Elite Dangerous beta.
Yes.
You know?
Absolutely. But
I'm not because...
Yeah, budgets.
I don't want to.
Hey, so this Klifsky put up a photo of Gratuitous Space Battles 2.
A massive photo.
It's pretty crazy looking. Boy, there's a lot of ships.
I know, right? And I'll be honest, I suck at the first game. Like suck.
Yeah, I do too. I just I build some ships and I stick them in a formation and I watch them die.
Yeah,
that's basically much. How it
that's
goes.
As far as I've gotten, pretty much. And this looks even crazier than that.
Yeah,
it looks amazing. Like I can't wait to play it, but I just hope I don't suck at it as hard as the first one. Because like they sent me a copy to review, and I'm like, okay, oh god, I can't get past the first mission. But it's not the game's fault. I can't blame it on the game. So how can I write a review of that if I'm so terrible at it that I can't get, you know?
It's yeah. Like,
oh, I felt bad. I should try and revisit it. I should just fucking bite the bullet and fucking do it. What else do we got in news? Where the fuck is my thing? I fucking lose it? I lost it. Oh, my God, I lost it. Wait, there it is. Predestination, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, sadly, oh yeah, and the saddest news here is that Dead Rock Divide, which looks pretty cool, did not have a successful Kickstarter. That's very sad. Yeah, they came they came pretty short of their goal, which makes me wonder, like, are people getting tired of Kickstarter now? You know, I don't know.
Yeah.
All right, well, so news done. Fine. Steam sale. Let's go.
And that's the news.
And that's the news. That's all the news that's fit to print. Or, no, what did he say? That's how it is, how it was. Or, fuck did he say? Something like that.
I have no idea.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got struck, speaking of news and stuff. I saw a website. It was about the 1967 Montreal Expo. And what? I went down this rabbit hole, right?
Random. Okay.
Yeah, it was random. So then, after seeing that, they had some pictures of the Mary Tyler Moore set, you know, and they were talking about her apartment in the 70s and how that was like a women's liberation thing, right? Because that was that show. Because she used to be on the Dick Van Dyke Show, right? And then she got her own show, and it was the thing about she's a single woman who's a career woman, and she's got her own place, and she's making it, you know, as a
she's
career.
She's going to make it after all.
Yeah, exactly. But anyway, they were talking about, like, how her apartment was the showcase of what people esteemed to have, right? It was, like, the most famous TV apartment of the time. So I got obsessed with – I had to watch the entire first season of Mary Tyler Moore.
What?
Yeah.
How does it hold up?
It's pretty great, actually. But you see, the reason you were like going at like Walter Cronkite or whoever that was that said that, and it made me think of Ed Asner, and Ed Asner was her boss on
right,
the thing.
Right. Lou Grant.
Yes. Yeah. So
who eventually got his own show, if I recall.
Yep. So there's spin-off that.
Of a spin-off.
And we won't even talk about Fish.
Oh,
you remember Fish?
I remember Fish.
Abe Vigoda is still alive.
I know. You know, the craziest spinoff I remember from that time is Enos. Do you remember Enos?
Was that a Dukes of Hazzard spinoff?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. That lasted maybe two episodes.
Right.
But it was the deputy from Hazzard County in the big city.
Hey, you know what's awesome? Guess who lives in town with me here? James Best. Roscoe P. Coltrane.
No way.
Yeah, like not like I can't look out the door and see him, but he lives in Raleigh. Yeah.
Is he still kicking?
Yeah, he's kicking it.
Good for him.
Yeah.
Oh, now I can say Enos lasted one episode. Wow, I thought it might have been
one whole more episode. Than that. It was the pilot.
I was optimistic. Oh shit.
Wow.
All right, so let's start off with the Steam sale. Let's okay. Look at the list of what you got. You can find that on your account.
Oh,
what do you
really?
Think?
Okay, like how do I pull this list up? Because I've often wondered, like, does Steam have a history of what
does.
I've bought in
it
what
does.
Order?
It says like your account up at the top. Then there's a drop down. You go to account details.
And let's
it'll
try
list
that.
It'll list all the stuff you got and how you got it, whether you paid for it, whether you got a complimentary key, or whether it was a gift.
Oh. So wait, it's under games?
Like your no, it's your account at the very top. Make sure the like on your account, like it'll say Azaram's account or something, and then there's a drop down. You click.
Yeah, there's activity profile, friends, groups.
No, no, no. It's up from
oh,
that.
Oh, God. That. Why did they make their interface?
So I don't know. But click
okay,
that.
Yeah, account details. Drop.
Yeah, there it is.
Got
and that
it.
Shows you all the stuff you got and how you got it. And if you have, I don't know, if you have the enhanced Steam plugin, which everyone should, it also tells you how much you've spent on your account, which. Mine is kind of crazy. It says I've spent $2,100 on my account.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's what it says.
I don't have the thing, but there's a website you can go to that's like your Steam value or something.
Yeah, I think, but I'm not sure which takes into account discounts and sales.
It does. It calculates things against their price today.
Yeah, I think this. Yeah, I don't know.
But it is. I assure you,
it's
a shameful number.
It's depressing.
That is
yeah,
well north of $3,000.
Yeah.
So
mine's
here's my list of shame. Right.
Well, let's start off with one thing. Look down your list of all the stuff you got on the sale, and pick maybe the craziest thing that you got, like the most unexpected, or the nuttiest, or the silliest, or just pick the one thing that you're like, wow, I didn't expect to get.
Well, my buddy Adam, for my birthday, gifted me a copy of Goat Simulator.
Yes, I got that,
so
too.
So there is that. I was not at all expecting to get a copy of Insurgency, which is an FPS. But a buddy of mine got it, and he was like, that's probably the best $6 I've spent all year. And so I grabbed it and jumped in with him, and it's really, really good. I was surprised.
I kind of wish I would have known while I still had money in my wallet. I might have gotten it, but...
Yeah, it's like, did you ever play Counter-Strike Source?
No.
Okay, if you took Counter-Strike Source and married it with the same gameplay that was in Call of Duty 4, that's kind of what Insurgency is like. And it's got a buttload of different game types and stuff, and it's like all the stuff that I hated about Counter-Strike is not there. So, you know, it's pretty darn cool. Yeah.
It's multiplayer only, though, isn't it?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Oh, yeah.
But that's what it's meant to be, though, right? So
I'm less intrigued by that. I know, I shouldn't be.
Yeah.
But I too got Goat Simulator. Someone also gifted me Dai Katana.
Really?
Yeah, someone gifted me Dai Katana.
Have you been
like
killing
the first
cyborg
day of,
frogs?
Like the first day of the sale. No, I did. I tried it because I didn't know there was a rule, an unwritten rule, that if someone gifts you something, you have to play it. You have to at least try it. I didn't know this. I feel really horrible. So I found all the gifts I got over like the last 3 years and like put them in a separate category in Steam. And I'm going to play all of them. But someone gifted me Dai Katana, and so I tried it. Oh my God, that's bad.
God.
I knew it was bad, but I didn't know how bad.
You should do a Let's Play of Dai Katana.
Oh.
Because and just to see
that's
how long
cold,
you can stand,
man.
It.
I thought you were my friend. Why would you
no.
want to go through
that? Dude, this would be like a March of Dimes kind of thing, right? Where it's like, you know, isn't that the deal where it's like they do the walk-a-thon thing and it's like,
I used
you
to
sponsor
do that when
me
I was younger.
For, yeah, so we could raise money for charity. It's like Desert Bus, right?
For every 20 minutes of Dai Katana,
oh,
I
no,
play
a dollar a minute, and you
oh, that's
will not
much,
spend more than $20. it's bad.
Oh. I will play Dai Katana for charity. That's actually not a horrible idea.
Yeah. So other thing, man, I did not expect to buy is Tropico 4.
Oh, have you played that at all?
I played a little bit of it, like maybe a couple hours one night, just enough to know that I suck at it, but I have potential. So, but it's very interesting. That's my kind of like Sims game, right?
I actually have that, and I just never have played it.
It's pretty darn cool, actually.
I should. I got a city builder like the first day of the sale. It was like $2 called Grand Ages Rome. I haven't played it yet, but apparently it's excellent.
Yeah.
That's what I've heard. Like I don't know how I got on City Builders for some reason. It's all
yeah.
Like,
speaking of Rome, have you had a chance to fire up Quadriga yet?
No, I have not. You gave it to me like 9 o'clock last night, and I went right to bed, and then I went right to work, and then I came home and did dishes. I haven't had time.
Yes, that was my gift to you, and it never went on sale. The bastards.
Well, it just came out. Like, within the last month, it just came out. So I didn't think that was going
to
go on sale.
Yeah, well, but it had to happen. So anyway, Roman Chariot Racing, it's kind of cool.
And yeah, no,
and
I've heard...
It's a turn-based. It plays like... it reminds me of Steve Jackson's Car Wars, but with chariots.
Yeah, I've heard nothing but good things about it. Apparently, it's very violent. Apparently, yep. It's very fun.
I won my first race by actually being drugged by my horses. I was holding on to the reins and just bouncing along the ground and taking massive damage. And that guy had to spend some time in the hospital. But he won, and that was good. He took it for the team.
Oh, that's good.
But yeah, you have an option. Like, you can let go of the reins or not. And I was like, I'm on the last lap. Screw it. If he dies, he dies.
I've seen Let's Plays where, like, the horses get run over.
Oh, yeah.
The guy gets run over. It's, like, fucking brutal. And yet the crowd loves that shit.
Oh, yes. And it's I haven't figured out if they actually have, like, a crowd popularity meter that goes up when things – it should be there if it's not. But yeah, it's crazy. And you can do – I messed a little bit with the career mode, and you can actually do, like, side bets and stuff. And
yeah.
I had people – I haven't figured out how to do it to others, but I have had people sabotage me because it was like – it told me up front, like, in a random event, it was like, your gate is sabotaged and, you know, you have a delay before your horses can take off. You know, that kind of thing. So, yeah. It's a cool game. $20. It's worth it if you like games that are good.
So, did you give me this one? It's called Fairy Bloom Freesia.
I don't think I did, but I should have. I have no idea what that is.
It's an anime-esque side-scrolling fight-em-up.
Oh, weird. No, I didn't do that. Yeah, I was going to get you the what's that one? It's like the unicorn breeding simulator.
Oh, Sparkle. Well, they call it Sparkle Ponies on Gamers with Jobs. So it's like the secret of the magic crystals.
Yes,
I think I actually own that already.
Okay,
hang on. I think I actually,
because when it drops to like 25 cents, everybody I know is getting it.
I think, yeah, Secret of the Magic Crystals, and yes, I do own it. Because I was gifted it, and since I own it and was gifted it, I should find it and put it in my gift category.
It's like Princess Celestia's Sparkle Hole Adventures.
Yeah, it's apparent. I know some people who like really dug it. Like, apparently, people have said it's deeper than you think. I'm like, okay, yeah, sure.
Okay, yeah. So let's see. We both got Divinity Original Sin.
Oh, I've only played maybe 20, 30 minutes of that, but damn, it's good.
That is the new Baldur's Gate 2.
That's good.
That's just what it is, man. If you like Baldur's Gate 2, run, don't walk, and get Divinity Original Sin. I did not like the first two Divinity games, you know, Divine Divinity and Diviner Divinity or whatever.
Oh, see, I love Divine Divinity. Beyond Divinity was terrible. And then Divinity 2 Ego Draconis, I think.
That was like some first-person Skyrim.
Yeah, it's not bad. I've played a little of it. It's not bad, but this seems to hit all the right. Like, apparently, it's so far. I heard someone say it's their biggest selling game. So if it's their best selling game ever, good for them. You know, I mean, you can tell they put a lot of character and thought into this game.
Yep, that's true.
Because it's funny, and it's got the only thing I don't like about it is the camera.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like the – it's so limited. Like, why can't I put it behind them? Why do I have to put it in front of them or on the side of them? Why can't I swirl around a bit more? That bugs me. But, yeah, so far it's great. And you gifted me Strike Vector, which
– Yeah, I bought the 4-pack of that.
Oh, that's kind of – it's kind, folks, if you haven't played that, it's similar to Strike Suit Zero if you kind of like that sort of thing. But it's multiplayer only. And it's difficult. It's. I've only done like some of the tutorials. I went to like one multiplayer mission, got my ass handed to me.
Oh yeah, it's like I am terrible at that game.
Yeah.
I don't even understand. Like, I don't see how people even see me to kill me, and I am dead within seconds. So some people are much better than me at that game.
I'm
gonna have to invest some time. It is really super fast. So yeah, it's that. I picked up Arcade Craft, which is awesome.
What is that?
It's you start in 1980 and you have an arcade. So you get an advance of like $13,000 and you have to pay it back at the end of the year. So you get an arcade and you have enough money to buy like a Space Invaders machine.
All right,
so you rent the building and you get the machine. And then you have to – it's one of those games where it's got some busy work in it. Like you have to empty the arcade machines or the change drawer gets full.
It's like one of those Kerosoft games, you know.
It's very much a casual lemonade stand kind of game, right?
That's
an arcade. You manage an arcade and it's so beautiful. And you have to keep track of which games are how popular and rotate different games in and out, and where you put the games on the floor matters. And then you'll have like snot-nosed kids come in and start roughing up your game, and you have to grab them and toss them out the door, stuff like that.
I love how dark the arcade is. Like when you're placing something, it lights up, but then when you put it down, it gets all dark.
Oh yeah, like, you can totally customize the arcade, so you can get like neon and do the floor, and you can you put a jukebox in there. It's like, oh god, it's good.
All right, that's so on my wish list when it gets on sale. I'm definitely going to keep an eye out for that.
Yeah, and I bought sort of as a companion to that, Game Dev Tycoon.
Yeah, I've heard that's really good.
It's on the surface, it's really good. But once you've played through it and you realize what's going on, you're not really competing against the other companies in the market. You're just competing against your own success, right? And if you have a game that comes out and sells gangbusters, then you can't ever top that. So it's kind of like you were – it's almost like a Lord British thing, like Ultima 1, 2, 3, 4, it peaks, and then you can never make Ultima 4 again, you know? But everybody keeps expecting you to, and then your company kind of swirls around the drain, and you're doing like contractor work on the side. But it gets into like a personnel management sim after a while, because you have to decide like how many employees to hire – what to train them in. So you can be like, okay, this guy has a tendency toward technology, so I'll train him in, like, he'll be the guy that makes my 3D render technology. And then this other person is really good at marketing, so I'll spin them up toward marketing stuff and whatever. And then E3 comes up, you know, once a year, and you have to like get demos ready for E3 and stuff. And it's pretty weird. Then you also have to hold like press conference stuff and decide like which game reviewers, you know, how much engagement you're going to have. Basically, is like, I'm going to send copies to reviewers, or I'm going to buy a spread in the magazine, or I'm going to actually do a TV campaign. And you can screw yourself, because if you don't have enough fans and you do this campaign stuff, like there's not enough people for it to matter. So, but you can build like the hype train before the game comes out. And it's like, if you release a game and it's got bugs in it, then you have to do patches, and that takes away from your development cycle, your new game, stuff like that. Yeah, but what's weird, and this is kind of where the game's fundamentally broken, I never released a game that had a bug in it. So therefore, I never could improve, right? So it's not like, well, last game had 10 bugs and this game has 5 bugs, so your ratings go up. And it's like, no, my games never have bugs because I wait till they're all dead. And then that kind of takes away an advancement thing for me. So I realized I wasn't playing it right. You have to actually purposefully be sloppy at the beginning.
What?
Yeah, that was counter to my whatever. You can still get through the game, but you will not achieve like high scores and stuff. So you have to kind of game it. You have to know what the numbers are behind. And once I read about that, I was just like, oh, God, it's broken for me now. But it was cool. It was $3, right? So I'm not crying. It was fun, and Joan, I got it for Joan, and she sat over there for like 2 days grinding through it. She played through it like 2-3 times, and then she was just like, I wish that now that I'm completely done with it, I wish that I could gift that off to my nephew, you know? And that's a thing with Steam games. You can't, right? That would be nice if you could just be like, look, I'm never going to touch this game again. Let me hand it to another person, you know? But or sell it to them for half price even or whatever, you know? But anyways, yeah, so I got Arma 3. That was an unintended purchase, but I was screwing around with it a little bit, and I was just like, yeah, I got to have this thing. So like watching YouTube videos of people playing it multiplayer. Single player, the Arma games have never really thrilled me, but multiplayer, they're pretty cool. But there's something about that interface that it's just clunky enough to just infuriate me, because it's like, I'm trying to do this. Oh, God, how do I get the grenade launcher up? And, you know, bang, and you're dead, because it's so super deadly. that you never even see the guy that killed you, right? It'll be like, man, 500 meters, pow. It's like, where still, was he?
Do they still show you who killed you?
No.
Like if someone
– Totally not. Yeah. But whenever you run around in a squad, then it's really cool. But yeah, the original one, Operation Flashpoint, yeah, it would totally show you what killed you.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. Operation Flashpoint did that, which I kind of liked. I'm like, oh, that guy over there.
Yeah. This thing is like if you took Operation Flashpoint and cranked the graphics up to like the best graphics you can do on a PC, then that's what this is. But it still has all the little frustrations that were still there in Operation Flashpoint, which is also why I hate DayZ, because DayZ is based on the Arma 2 engine, and it has all that clunky weird shit in it. I'm sure it's a hell of a game if you can get past that, but I can't.
Speaking of clunky weird shit, someone gifted me Starforge.
Yeah.
Which is one, like a voxel, world-building thing. I'm like, okay, I'll try it. For some reason, I was running around, like, I think in my underwear in the game because I didn't have clothing, or I had, like, very sparse clothing. And I didn't know what I was supposed to do because it's still early access, so I don't even think there's a tutorial or anything. So there are things, like, you get automatically. I think this one thing was, like, a beacon or something. It's, like, a little cylinder with, like, a green bit at the end, and I don't know what you're supposed to do with it.
Oh, weird. What game is this again?
Starforge.
Oh, okay.
But here's the thing. I'm holding it. My avatar is holding it in his hand, and I look down at the ground to figure out what I'm supposed to do with it. And it looks like I'm holding my penis with a green bit at the end of it.
Nice.
Like, okay, like I think I'm
ET
done.
Phone home.
This is really weird. I feel uncomfortable now. Wow. So I stopped playing that after about 5 minutes because I had no idea what I was supposed to be doing.
It's supposed to be like Minecraft in space. Something.
Yeah. Apparently, you can build a spaceship at some point.
You know the game that I almost got and I still chickened out is that up? Planet Explorers. It was on sale on the Steam thing, but it wasn't on sale enough.
I did the same thing. So I downloaded the demo.
I didn't know there was a demo, so
yeah,
I will indulge.
It's like 2 gigs.
Wow.
It's a huge demo. And it's pretty, and you can tell like, oh, something could happen with this, but... Yeah, there's nothing. No. Mm. So I think the most surprising game for me, and I got this because – and it's surprising because it really wasn't on sale that much. But I'd been eyeing it for a while because I love roguelike games.
Mm-hmm.
And I finally got Dungeon of the Endless.
Yay.
It's a little bit. You said it was great. That helped. And the reviews for it were pretty solid. So I got it, you know, thinking, okay, they did Endless Space. I don't like Endless Space. I'll give this a shot anyway because I liked Endless Legend. I was really surprised how much I liked Endless Legend. So I started playing it. I'm like, holy shit, this is good. This is really good. Like, this is fun and deep and tense and really pretty to look at. And I want the soundtrack and easy to use but not easy to play. Knack, you're saying don't get Endless Legend. I already have a beta of it, or it's just about to do a beta, and I like it. I dig it. It's incomplete, but I dig Endless Legend. But I really
isn't that like a Master of Magic-y kind of game?
Yeah, it's like Endless Space, but better because it's got more flair
more
to it.
Manticores.
It's got more flair to it because it's fantasy,
right?
And so.
And frankly, fantasy has a easier appeal.
It is an easier sell. Fantasy is definitely an easier sell than science fiction.
Right, and because basically there is a standard for orcs and elves, and you don't really have to reinvent them, but you can make the rules a little bit different. But but if you do a space thing, maybe people just don't like the weird races you made. Right?
Yeah.
But fantasy stuff is fairly standardized, so it's hard to stray too far off the reservation on that.
Yeah, exactly. But Dungeon of the Endless, it's like someone, and I think in one of the reviews on Steam, was like, what if the FTL crew crashed and had to survive on an unknown planet? And I'm like, I like that idea.
Yeah, it does kind of feel a little like FTL, a little bit.
A little bit, but it doesn't give me the anxiety attack that FTL does for some reason. Maybe because I'm not on the spaceship.
Well, you can pause FTL.
Yeah, I know, but I still get anxiety from it, even though I can pause it. I don't know why. I don't know why, but I still get a little anxiety. But yeah, I didn't buy one space game this entire sale. I bought a bunch of roguelikes.
Did you get Magicite?
No, it never got deep enough.
Oh, you missed it.
Never got deep enough.
It's only $10.
I know, but I had to spread out my Steam wallet as much as I could. Okay. So I did get – I got Super House of Dead Ninjas, which apparently is great.
I haven't played that one yet. It's got controller support now, I think.
Oh, good.
It didn't when I got it, but yeah.
Dungeon of the Endless is great. Pixel Boy in the Ever-Expanding Dungeon is really good.
Really?
I really like it. I really like it a lot. I can't see if it has – I don't think it has controller support yet, but it works fine on the keyboard and the mouse. So I'm really enjoying that. And I got it wasn't on sale, but it was $5. It's a rally game from 2006 called Expand Rally.
Oh, yeah.
It's really good. I only played Rally with, like, the dirt games, and this is better than that.
Yeah. Hey, this Pixel Boy game kind of looks like Robotron.
A little bit.
Is it like a dual stick shooter roguelike thing?
It's dual stick in the way that you use the WASD keys to move around and the mouse to aim.
Right.
And it's a shooter because you shoot different types of bullets. You can get power ups that give you like life stealing bullets or reflective bullets or bullets that grow as they get shot.
This looks like some kind of neon acid trip of a rogue game.
It kind of is, and I've probably put it only half an hour into it, but I'm really liking it. Because the enemy, it's like you're in this medieval town, you know, and you're going through this like medieval dungeon, which looks like an old library or an old hotel or something. And yet the enemies are these pixelated things from like Robotron or something.
Yeah.
Or what was that one? Xenomorph? Not Xenomorph.
No, there was like Smash TV and.
Smash? No, no, no. It was an isometric one kind of. Xeno? Fuck. It was on the Atari Lynx.
No, I can't help you there.
Fuck, I can't remember. Xenophobia? Something like that?
Xenophobe was three screens stacked up, and it was like Star Trek, right?
No, that wasn't it.
Do you remember that game, by the way, from the arcades, Xenophobe?
Vaguely.
Yeah, that was kind of cool. I think it was done by the same crew that did Rampage, because it felt very, very like Rampage, except Rampage and Star Trek.
Yeah.
Sort of.
I don't think this is the game. This is not the game I am thinking of.
Yeah.
Or maybe it is. Wait a minute.
It's kind of reminiscent of like Dandy Dungeon Venture.
Wait a minute. Yeah. Oh, no. This is not the game I was thinking of. This is a similar game, but not the same game. This is a side-scrolling thing. Yeah, that's Xenophobe. Something bots then. It was Zybots or something like that. I don't remember. Mm. But yeah, so I got a lot of... You know, I love expand. Oh, and I got Super Amazing Wagon Adventure.
Oh, yes.
Which is funny as shit. Especially if you put the names of the people you know.
It looks like an Atari 2600 game.
It does, but then you realize, why am I being accosted by unicorns? Oh, no. How did my wagon get in space? This is crazy.
Yeah, because it's like you think it's going to be like Oregon Trail.
Excuse me. Yeah. But it's not. It's a shooter that has sensibilities of Oregon Trail. But then you like, oh, no, a bear is attacking me. I will kill the bear. Oh, no, the bear called 1,000 rabid squirrels to defend its death. Oh, God.
Yeah. So let me tell you, the absolutely best game that has come out all month is Shovel Knight.
Oh, yes.
Shovel Knight is the business. Like
they were talking about that on the Gamers with Jobs podcast.
Oh yeah, it deserves to be talked about a lot because they had originally they started out and they said, okay, we're going to play by the limitations of the NES. We're going to make a modern day game that runs on computers, but we are going to make it run on an NES, you know, like in an emulator. And then they said, all right, well, that's too limiting. But they had a really cool article, I think it was on Gamma Sutra, where they said, okay, here's where we deviated from that and why. But what I took out of that is, oh, here's all the crazy limitations that the NES had. And it's pretty amazing. Like, you could do horizontal scrolling or vertical, but you couldn't do diagonal scrolling. Just stuff like that.
Right. Wow.
Yeah, pretty weird. But anyway, so yeah, Shovel Knight. It's I would say it's more like a Super Nintendo level of game.
Well, it's funny. I was watching the trailer of it, after you told me about it. And there was a game I played in the Atari 5200 that reminded me of Pengo. It was a penguin game where you moved ice blocks around.
Oh, no, that's like nothing.
I'm just saying,
it
looked like that to me.
Right. But yes, that is Pengo.
But see, it's funny. I never played any of those SNES games. I never had one.
Uh-huh.
So I'm wondering if it'll have the same stickiness to me that it does to you, someone who did play those games.
I played them a little, but I really sucked at them. Like, I would love to sit there and watch my friends that were good at Mega Man play Mega Man. But if they handed me the controller, it was just like a waste of time. Right. So, you know, I'm not good at precision jumping platformers. And what happens to me is my fingers get confused. It's like this button is jump and this button is attack. And then I will go to jump and I'll hit attack and I fall down the hole. And it's like, damn it, you know, and it wouldn't be bad, except that I'll do it like 10 times in a row, you know, and it's just like, okay, I'm wasting my time here. But this game I have persisted in and it's getting pretty good. Like I'm probably like an hour into it and I haven't got to the first boss yet. That's how bad I suck. Because you only have to go through four stages to get to the first boss. But I'm still having fun. I haven't, like, rage quit the game yet. Well, I just pick it up in small doses. So I would say it is not as hard as something like Ghosts and Goblins. Because that game.
Oh, God. No, I played that in the arcade. Oh, yeah. God, that fucking game.
Oh, that thing's a merciless demon.
Yeah, it's weird. That game, like pissed me off. But I love playing it. There was something just satisfying about that.
Yeah, it's like I got a quarter in my pocket and I need to get rid of it in 30 seconds or less. Ghost of Goblins. Yeah. Oh, and I did buy the Angry Video Game Nerd Adventures game, which
is that?
It's a jump and platformer, like 8-bit game that stars Angry Video Game Nerd guy James from Cinemassacre. Did you know he has a movie podcast? He does a bad movie podcast. It's cinemassacre.com.
Son of a bitch.
But anyway, it's like all the tropes that he bitches about in all of his Nintendo game reviews, they just built them into this thing, and it's kind of hilarious. But it is maddeningly difficult. So there's that. But it was like $4, so whatever.
That's true.
Yeah. Oh, and I filled out my DCS collection. You know, because I had the A10.
Oh, yeah.
And, here's the beautiful thing, right? After I got diagnosed officially with ADD and I got drugs, now I can go back and play A10 fine, right? Like,
really?
I taught myself. Yeah, because I sat down and I was just like, because I get 4 days off a week because I work that crazy ass, like, never come home from work schedule on the weekends. So I get, you know, the Tuesday through Friday off. So just for the last 3 weeks, Tuesday through Friday, I'm sitting here with the throttle and stick and you know, like the manual's up on one monitor and I'm flying the damn thing.
That's what I've noticed. Like every time I look at Steam, it's like, oh, he's in DCS world. He's in DCS world.
Constantly. Because it's the thing of like once it clicks, did you fall off? fell off your desk.
No, I'm having some issues over here, but I'm okay.
That tequila is catching up to you.
It might be. I should have some more. I should have a little more.
That's the only thing that can fix it is more.
Carmarina, Familia Carmarina, silver, 100% agave tequila.
There you go.
That's
so
right.
I picked up Crimson Land. I'm not as impressed with that.
That's an older game. I love that game.
Yeah.
That game came out in, 2003, a while back. Yeah. And you know what? Here's something great about that. They will give people Steam keys if they bought the game previously.
Oh, really? It's just like,
so,
here you go.
Yeah, and I lost, I don't even remember what my email address was back then. But someone on, I think it was Quarter 3, said, just email them and say, oh, this is my name. I did order the game back then. They sent me a key. They're like, here, enjoy. I'm like, that is so nice.
Yeah, I played it a little bit, and it's like, I don't know. I've played other games that were like that before.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's a game about, like, timing reloading, right?
Yeah.
And you have to train. It's like playing Robotron, but it's a little bit too slow. And I like my Robotron to be, like, super neon. I like the Robotron thing that Puppy Games made is the perfect Robotron clone. and I don't need another one after that.
Which one was that?
It was Puppy Games made it, and it's let me look.
It was the robot one, right? Where you can take over other robots.
No. That's a paradroid thing. Droid Assault was that. It's Ultratron.
Oh, yeah. You told me about that one.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Ultratron's great. Next time there's a Steam sale, just get it. Put it on your wish list now.
We'll do that right now.
They had the Puppy Games full pack for like $3 or something.
Oh.
This one. So.
Ultratron.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. I actually own it.
There you go. You need to play that shit, man.
Well, then good. I will just, hey, Steam, install that shit. Where are you? Ultra. There it is. I will install
there
it.
There it is.
Does it use the controller?
Yes, it can, but you're better with the keyboard and mouse.
Really?
The controller just didn't do it for me. And you'll find out why. Like, try it with the controller. You'll go right back to the keyboard and mouse.
That's handy.
Yeah, okay, so I got Wargame Red Dragon. Which you own Wargame Air Land Battle, right?
Yeah, I've heard if you have Air Land Battle, you don't need
Red Dragon. Yeah, it's more of the same, right? Now Red Dragon actually has height terrain, like Air Land Battle had some height variation. Like there's high ground and low ground, but there's no like, oh, I'm gonna drive my tanks up these rolling hills or whatever. And it's in this one. Right, and there's naval stuff, but I haven't played it enough to get into that. But it's also the heart of it is kind of multiplayer. But you and I need to get into Air Land Battle some night because that game is really, really, really good. Really good.
Yeah, we totally do.
Yeah. One other feature that Red Dragon added is the ability to slow the game down to where you're like in Matrix bullet time and give orders. And that's nice. So, yeah. I don't know, man. There's a lot of stuff. In DCS, right, I rounded out everything. I picked up the Mi-8 HIP and the P-51 Mustang. Dude, you've flown plenty of World War II flight sims, right?
Of course.
And it's easy to fly those planes. Holy crap. The level of fidelity going on in the P-51 Mustang is like – it takes like 5 minutes to start that plane up. You know, so because it's like you have to like turn on the electric power and set the throttle thing, and then you push up to the idle detent, and then you set like the carburetor thing.
I don't have time for all that.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
I just want to hit E and turn the fucking thing on. That's well, you know, that's
right. And you can do that. It has an auto start sequence, and it goes through it a lot quicker than I can. But then I tried to take off, crash. Like, I've never crashed a sim trying to just take off. And then what you find out, like, I watched the training video. They have, like, a 15-minute-long training video on how to take off.
Oh, my fucking God.
And I'm like, really? Because I remember them talking about, you know, like, the P-51 wasn't so bad, but, like, the F-4 Corsair was known for just murdering people in training. You know, it's like... one guy would graduate for every three guys that like murdered themselves in that plane trying to learn how to fly it. I understand why now, because when you try to take off in the P-51, you actually have to spin the trim knob and you lock the tail wheel, right? And then you turn the trim knob on the tail so that your rudder's trimmed over the right way. And if you don't do this stuff, the plane will do a somersault when you try to take off. And if you hit the throttle too hard, somersault. I bent the props right off of that thing so many times.
Oh my God.
Was ridiculous. Yeah, because there's a lot of torque and stuff. And it's not like one of the... It's like where previously something like X-Plane or whatever was about as good as you could get in Sims, this playing that game in DCS, that plane in DCS is just off the scale. And then I tried to dogfight in it once I actually got it up in the air.
Yeah.
Holy crap. What makes it just amazing is you're trying to control this plane that is not – you can't like yank too hard on the stick or you stall a wing, go into a flat spin and crash into the ocean, which I'm very good at doing. It's hard as balls to fight in that thing, you know, with the realism turned all the way up. So I totally respect those World War II pilots 10 times more than I ever did before. Yeah. It's like, it is easier, like, to play Falcon 4, Falcon 4 BMS, and do all the switchology and everything in the F-16. it is easier to do that than to fly a P-51.
Wow.
Yeah. So those guys, I mean, they didn't have autopilot and stuff. They didn't have like automatic trim shit and whatever. You're trimming that plane the whole time you're flying. And yeah, it's crazy. And then you add in a German that's shooting at you, and it's just off the scale. And I can kill myself without him even needing a bullet. Me just trying to chase him, I will kill myself. So there's that. And they do have the full on World War II thing coming out. It'll probably be out within the next year. So what? it's gonna be like DCS, but it's World War II, and it's gonna be like fly the Germans, fly the Allies. It's going to be like epic realism World War II sim. Yep.
Oh.
It's coming out. They got the Focke-Wulf 190 in development right now. The P-51
I heard about
you
that.
Can purchase. Yeah. And they're going to sell the planes for like $40 each because they're super high fidelity models like that. They're all going to be in the game, but in order to actually fly it, you're going to have to pony up the money for the key. Which is okay, because there's only a couple planes. It's not like you're going to learn every plane in the game. It's not a survey sim. It's a study sim.
Right.
So, yeah. Yep, definitely that. But if you don't have time to learn how to fly for real, stay away from it.
Because
it will be a pit of frustration.
I barely have time to fly fake space fighters these days. That's why I'm doing more videos than anything else, because that's what I have time for.
Yeah. So you got Space Run, did you not? Speaking of space games. Okay. But the initial impression of Space Run, it hasn't gotten weird to me yet. But it's like, okay, I have a ship that is – it's so many Lego blocks big, and then I buy turrets and engines and cargo pods, and I stick them on the spaces that I have. And then I bought that mod where you can actually rotate a turret. You know, and change their facing in flight and stuff. And it's like a tower defense game, but your base moves, you know, and it's kind of neat for that. And you just have waves of enemies coming in at you. But you said that whenever you play it up to a certain level, it gets so hectic you can't take it.
Yeah, I eventually got to a point where I was like, this is a little too hectic. And there's no pause of any kind, which is just a little sad. Like, FTL is a pause. It doesn't hurt the gameplay. It doesn't make it any less tense, you know. So why can't this game have a pause?
Yeah, it needs an I need to pee button.
Yeah, I mean, you can pause by, like, hitting escape, but then you, like, can't do anything, you know. You can't, like, because, like, oh, yeah, I need to change the facing of this turret. Oh, I had to build a power thing right next to this turret. Oh, I had to build a shield here. It's like, God damn it. I don't have time for all this. But it's kind of fun. Apparently there are people who told me there's like a board game that's like kind of a, not ripoff, but a homage to called like Space Trucker or something.
Yeah. Haven't heard of it.
Apparently the board game is excellent. That's what I've heard. But this, I had fun with it for a while, Space Run, but after a while I was like, okay, I'm not as interested anymore. Thanks though.
But I will say this, production values, that game is AAA.
Oh yeah, no, I love the graphics are great. I think one of my favorite little things about it is when you launch, there's like, it's like a handheld camera is watching your ship as you launch. Do you know what I mean? So like wobbles, and I kind of love
a little
that.
Shaky
I don't know why.
Cam view.
Yeah, a little shaky cam type thing, but it's not like ridiculous shaky cam like Transformers or something. But it's like just a little shaky cam, like, oh, there's someone out there.
Yeah.
Trying to hold a camera steady while a spaceship takes off.
Hey, by the way, speaking of Transformers, Transformers Rise of the Dark Spork is out now.
I heard that was terrible.
Well, it's not bad. I mean, did you play The Fall of Cybertron, the second one?
No, I never played any of them.
Oh, God, man. Okay, War for Cybertron is really great. Fall of Cybertron is equally pretty darn good.
That's what I've heard. I keep meaning for them to get cheap enough for me to just, you know, finally buy.
Yeah, it's,
you know?
It's good on the nostalgia factor, right?
That's what I've heard.
The problem with this game is that it's no worse than the second game because it essentially is the second game. They threw new levels in there. They threw a couple new characters, and they made, when they're in robot form, they look like the Michael Bay version instead of the classic version, and that bothers me. Other than that, it's like, it's just a generic story, you know. I'm not far enough in it to know if there's Decepticons, but there's some third faction that comes down and they're looking for the Dark Spark. I call it the Spork, and you know, which is the space utensil that is both a spoon and a fork, because right. it would take space robots to invent something like that. But anyway, so, you know, they come down, and then it's hordes of enemies that are faceless, you know, clones of whatever. And they have, I guess the new movie, because the movie's out now, also has a, like a samurai character that speaks with a very bad Japanese accent, you know?
Oh, God. Really?
Yeah. Yeah, it's bad. And
well, here's the funny thing about that, if I may go off a tangent. I went to a Transformers convention a weekend or two ago.
That was Botcon, 2 weekends was it not?
Botcon, yes. And every Botcon I've been to has been a very odd experience because it's a very poorly run con. Very poorly run convention. But usually there's something entertaining enough to like, okay, that was worth my $20. And $20 is just to get in for one day. If you want the whole package where you like see Stan Bush in concert and shit at Universal, I'm not even making that up.
What does he show up? He performs We Got the Touch and then he goes home.
Yeah. Yeah. He put on a concert Friday night before the night before we went. I'm not even kidding. He was there. I bought one of his CDs. I got to say hello to him and shake his hand. But anyway, there was nothing about the new movie at that. Like, nothing.
Yeah, because they're shunning it. It's just like, that's not happening.
Well, it's kind of funny. My friend, who I always go with, I love the Transformers. He loves, like, he's read the comics. He's seen almost all the shows, you know? Like, he's far deeper into this thing than I am. Far deeper. And I was really interested to see what he thought about the new movie. And even he was like, the special effects were good, but the story was kind of a mess, so it sucked. No, it didn't suck. It was just kind of messy. Okay. Which basically means it sucked.
Well, but you have to ask him, like, what did you think of Transformers 3? How does it stack up against that? Because if he's like, oh, 3 was, like, a better movie, then you need to stab him in the face. Because, you know.
I actually watched 3 with him about a month ago. I had never seen it. And it was better than 2 is what I could say about that. But that's not saying much.
Well, I was kind of put off by the ice cream truck ghetto bots that really bothered me.
Oh, God.
Like, yeah, why does Michael Bay get away with that shit? Nobody should be able to get away with that.
But apparently the new Transformers movie made $100 million in its first weekend.
Oh, yeah. Those movies make bank, man. I don't understand how, because they're so
bad. It crushes me. Transformers is a pretty decent-sized built-in fan base already. What crushes me about that is like, okay, this movie about giant robots made $100 million in one weekend. Pacific Rim's entire theatrical run in the U.S. over months barely cracked that.
Yep.
That's
a problem.
That kills me. And a cartoon.
And a cartoon.
And more comics.
So that's good.
Yeah.
Oh,
maybe
my
gosh. We'll get an actual game out of it.
Oh, speaking of Del Toro, it is finally July. That means The Strain is coming out. Yay.
That's true.
When the heck is that? I need to look.
The 12th, I think.
Okay. I'm ass in seat for that.
It's soon. Yeah, I've already got set to record. I'm excited about that.
Sweet. Do you have any knowledge of it other than what I may have said?
It's about vampires.
Yeah.
But it's Del Toro's version of vampires, so you know he's going to be fucked up.
Yeah.
Because I haven't seen all his movies.
Do you remember?
But I have seen Blade 2.
That's what I was going to say. Is like Blade 2 was his
Jesus
vampires.
Jesus Christ.
And Jesus it's kind of – it's basically those vampires, right?
Yeah.
But even weirder, because instead of biting you with vampire teeth, they have like a retractable like stinger, tentacle, whatever. Like
Something that
comes out of – it's almost like a frog tongue that can shoot out, and then it's got a barb on the end, and they can like latch onto your throat with that from across the room, and they're fast, you know. So
it sounds like Del Toro.
Oh yeah, totally, man. And it's more like a. Did you ever see that old movie, The Hot Zone? You know where it was like a virus outbreak movie. Think of it like this: if they did a movie about vampires, but it was more like the Andromeda Strain. That's what this is, because this guy works for the Center for Disease Control, and he happens to get involved in this because an airliner comes down and everybody on the airliner is dead, and they bring in the CDC in spacesuits, right, to go in and find out what crazy thing killed all these people. And then that goes down the rabbit hole because he discovers that it's vampires because some of the dead bodies get up and he's witness to it. And then, you know, weird things happen. So, but then you end up with a vampire plague. And there's three books in the series. I'm in the middle of the second one.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and there's a graphic novel too. So,
are they good?
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
Ooh,
there's audiobooks too. If you're on Audible, you can get them.
Oh, I can't do audiobooks.
Okay.
I wish I could. I almost crash the car every time I try and listen.
Oh well. So,
but yeah, I'm excited about that. I need to see. A friend of mine got me this book about Del Toro. And for Christmas, and it covers all of his movies up until Pacific Rim.
Yeah.
And there are all these movies he's done that I haven't seen that I need to, like Kronos and Pan's Labyrinth and
Oh, Devil's, Pan's Labyrinth is great.
Devil's Playground? No, Devil's something.
Yeah.
Something like that. So I need to see all these other movies, and I'm like, oh God, I'm scared, because apparently they're horror movies, but they're not horror movies.
Yeah, they're just weird movies.
Yeah,
well, you know, he was like all up in Hellboy too, right? So
that's where I first saw him. That's where I first saw anything of his was Hellboy.
Yeah,
which, you know, I love. So we were going to talk about marketing tonight. Do you think we have time, or should we put that on for another show?
We should kick it down the road because it's been
it down the road. Yeah, because we've gone for over an hour now, and I don't really feel prepared to talk about it. And no one really asked me anything about it, so I feel like I should do a better preparation.
Yeah.
Like, hey, devs, you want me to diagnose your website or give you tips? Because there, guys, if you have a website for your game, here's some quick tips. Don't use Wix ever. Don't ever use Wix.
What's a Wix?
Use WordPress. Wix is this, like it's a like a web service that lets you drag and drop a website together. And the code for those websites is terrible. They don't rank well. Knack says do the Dead Rock Divide guys. Okay, let's look at that real quick. Let's look at their Kickstarter campaign. Just real Dead Rock Divide.
By the way, posted a video of gameplay of Galaxy Truckers, the board game.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to watch that when we're done.
Oh, no. Okay, well, here's one problem I'm seeing with Dead Rock Divide already. It's a 30-day campaign, six updates. That's
not good.
No, that's not good. That's not good at all. I mean, their pitch is not bad. Their pitch is not bad. There's a good amount of text here. nothing in the FAQs. Those FAQs are there for a reason, people, because they added the transparency. And so those need to be filled out. Whether you come up with the questions yourself or whether you take questions from your backers, there need to be FAQs there because people need to read that shit.
Because it gives them a sense of security about what they're getting into. Yeah.
Exactly, yeah. It helps comfort them and go, okay, I feel comfortable enough with these guys and, to use your word, secure enough to give them money. But not having any FAQ questions or answers here makes it look like, oh, really? You didn't have time? We're not important enough, you know, to fill this out?
Maybe nobody's asking them questions.
Oh, hang on. They don't have a lot of comments. Oh, do not have a lot. They only have 30-day campaign, only 50 comments. Oh man, 54 comments. That's not a lot of comments.
As I remember, that was a pretty interesting looking game. So why is it not getting traction?
I think. Well, I didn't hear really anything about it. The only time I heard anything about it was on the Gamers with Jobs podcast. Sometimes when I have time, like at work or something on a lunch break, I like go through Kickstarter and try and find new space games on there. But that's not how I found this one. I don't remember how I found this one. Maybe someone posted on a forum or something.
Yeah.
But
they're not a new dev studio. I mean, they did that zombie game before, Zombie Puzzler.
Oh, is that them?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. Well, let's look at their website. Do they mention anything about it on here? Yeah, something here. Oh, go away.
And they're doing Twitch streams and stuff. So, I don't know. Every Tuesday and Thursday.
Oh, no. What is this? Okay, this is really weird. What is that? Okay. They don't update their blog very often. Like March 31st, May 8th, May 12th, May 13th, May 21st. And then after...
Well, see, I'm looking at deadrockdivide.com, and it says in the works. Yeah, it's their website, deadrockdivide.com.
Oh, I'm looking at bootsnakegames.com.
Yeah, well, see, here's the problem. If you Google Dead Rock Divide, it takes you immediately to deadrockdivide.com. The last update is 15th of August last year.
Yeah, they
that's a problem.
I don't even see that. I don't even see deadrockdivide.com.
Type it in.
I did, and the first thing that comes up is Indie Mega Booth, and then Bootsnake Games, their site, and then a bunch of demos, Giant Bomb. Okay, it was on Giant Bomb.
No, type it in the address bar. Actually, go to deadrockdivide.com.
Uh-oh. Oh, my God. No, I did a Google search, and deadrockdivide.com is not the first site that comes up. That's not good at all, especially since it's the name of the domain. Oh, my God. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. Okay, Jim, go to bootsnakegames.com. Open a new tab and go to bootsnakegames.com.
I'm there, brother.
Do you see that it's the exact same thing as deadrockdivide.com?
Oh, wow. That's bad.
That's horrible. Horrible. It's horrible because that's duplicate content. And now – and Google will ignore duplicate content. So that's why Dead Rock Divide is not showing up when you search for Dead Rock Divide because Google
– Oh, wow. So if Google
has shown
– So if you have two – well, wait a minute. So that means if I have two URLs, two domains, right, go to the same site, right? So
yeah.
So it's like an alternate name that redirects. Then Google says, screw you. Really?
If it doesn't even redirect, this doesn't redirect. They're two completely separate sites that are exactly the same. If you have
I think it's the exact same. It's a WordPress blog.
No. Well, let me look.
It's a WordPress blog for sure.
Well, that's fine, but let me see. What the fuck is it?
But if Google gets it from two different URLs, does it immediately disregard?
It tries to figure out which one's the more valuable of the two and ignore the other one. Let me see one thing here. Hang on. So deadrockdivide.com is a 200. 200 is an okay code, which means that site is a site that it actually exists, you know? And Bootsnake Games, oh, God. Okay, wait a minute. It's two completely separate URLs with the same content. Same exact site on two completely separate URLs.
Oh, so it's not a redirect from one to the other?
Nope, there is no redirect at all happening here.
Ooh.
Yeah,
is it hitting at least the same database to get the content?
I have no idea, but that doesn't matter.
Yeah, doesn't matter to Google.
At all. Nope. I wonder if Google has even. Hang on, do they even have Dead Rock Divide indexed? Oh my God, I can't believe that. You wouldn't believe how many people do that though. Ooh, oh no. Oh wait a minute, that's bad. That's really, really bad. Hang on. Oh, that's really bad. Okay, when you do – there's a command in Google. It's site colon then the URL, like bootsnakegames.com, without the HTTP bullshit. It'll tell you how many results it has in its index, how many pages of your site it has indexed. So I do a site colon bootsnakegames.com, 224 pages, which, okay, fine. That looks normal. You know, that's how it should look. You put Dead Rock Divide in there, site colon Dead Rock Divide. .com, one page, the home page, which means Google is either ignoring every other page on this site or it's penalizing this site. This is really bad.
Hmm.
This is really, really bad.
Okay, so I put in that site colon badmoviepodcast.com to get mine.
Uh-huh.
So where does it tell me any info? Because it just, to me, it just gives me an index of a bunch of pages on my site.
Well, that's all it should tell you. That's all it should tell you is... Oh, Google sees 390 pages.
Right.
of your site, which is fine. That's normal. That's how it
says that it's seeing pages of my site. It has in my site.
Yeah, that, and then if you hover, there's a next to each URL is a little downward arrow. You can see the cached version if you click on that, and then you can see how Google sees it in the cache. And yeah, your site looks fine. It looks like it's spidering your site with no problem. But these guys, why did they do that?
Now watch, they don't even have like a robots text.
That's easy enough to find.
It's robots.html, right?
They do, but it's the basic WordPress one that every WordPress site comes with.
Oh.
Let's see. Damn it. Can't type right now. There's no XML sitemap that I can find. That's great. But yeah, it looks like why is there? Oh, this is bad. Look at this. See this? The first post here, the stickied post that looks like it's from August 2013, right? Yeah. I don't know how it looks on your monitor, but on my monitor, that's the only post I could see.
Yeah, because it takes the entire top of the thing. You have to scroll to see more.
Right, and if you come to this website,
you're just going to be like, it hasn't had anything for a year. Goodbye.
Exactly. It hasn't been updated in a year. Why should I give a shit? I'm gone. I'm done. Right. I'm bouncing. That's why they call it a bounce rate. I'm bouncing. I'm leaving.
What is it they say? You have like 5 seconds to make an impression with somebody.
Pretty much. You're gone. 5 or 10. Yeah. And the date, like I've seen this theme before. The date is a little weird. 15 August 13. I don't know. That's a European thing. But it took me a minute to go, oh, wait, they do have posts from this year. I just have to parse this date. Yeah, and they have no comments.
Yeah, it's not good.
This is not good. No, this is
– it just basically looks like a dead site.
I don't want to say half-assed. That's mean.
No, but it gives the perception that the site is dead.
It totally – not only that, but the Kickstarter too. 6 updates over 30 days, 54 comments. You're not really engaging your audience. You know, I mean, you're not really reaching out. I mean, like I said, I didn't really hear much about this game. I don't think I even saw it. Let me see if it was anything on Rock Paper. What is that? Look at the top post on Rock Paper Shotgun, because that looks fascinating. Some kind of turn-based Gradius.
Crazy.
That looks great. But let me see if.
Did you ever play Gradius? Gradius is great.
The shooter, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I liked its retarded cousin, Life Force.
Oh, that was also a great game. Let's see if – okay. I just did a search on Rock, Paper, Shotgun for Dead Rock Divide. Nothing. And it doesn't take much to get your game covered on Rock, Paper, Shotgun. If you email them, they'll write a little something about it, even if it's like a hundred words in a trailer. And that alone will get you good traffic.
Yeah, because Kieran Gillian is a bit of a whore. I'll say it.
Yeah, I've gotten a link or two randomly on Rock Paper Shotgun here and there, and it brings in the views like no one's business.
Yeah, I just want to say that again. Kieran Gillian is a whore, a man whore. So you know why I say that? So people tell him that I said that, and then we can build some kind of like enmity, and then we can jab at each other on the internet, and that will drive your site ranking way high.
I don't want to.
No, we just need fake conflict. It's drama.
Oh, God. Okay, so I did a search on Blues News. You were on Blues News. Huge site.
Yeah. I met
Been around for once. Years. Oh, really?
Yeah, he was at E3 the last time that I was there.
I get good traffic from them regularly.
We were both talking to the guys from Tauldron. About Federation Commander Orion, whatever.
I miss Tauldron. Anyway, I did a search on Blues News for Dead Rock Divide. Nothing.
Knack corrects me. He says Kieran Gillian's not at RPS anymore. Oh, really?
I thought that was his baby.
I thought it was his site, yeah. Maybe he got fired by the board of directors.
Maybe he started it, but he – I don't know. But, yeah, nothing on Blues News about Dead – Not only did they not really engage their users on their Kickstarter, they didn't engage users elsewhere.
Yeah.
They didn't I've said this before, a Kickstarter campaign is pretty much a full-time job. It is full-time marketing. nonstop the entire campaign. As soon as you wake up, you should be fucking working on this campaign every fucking day. You should have an update
at least minimum 3 hours of effort a day.
At least. You need an update at least every day, if not almost every day, as much as you can do. You need to be pushing out, you know, comments, you know, to people and responding to people. You need to fill out the FAQ because people will kind of scroll past all this shit because every one of these things is an FAQ, and people will go to that. Oh, okay, so they showed Dead Rock Divide at PAX East. Well, wasn't PAX East like near the end of their campaign? Hang on, what is this? Entertainment Buddha. Okay, who the hell is Entertainment Buddha?
Somebody you never heard of. You'll see Steam reviews from them. It'll be like, have you ever noticed that? Like, people have to find a positive review for their shitty game. So they'll have, like, some game review site that you've never heard of that gave it, like, an 8 out of 10.
Yeah, I've never heard of these guys. I mean, I'm glad they went to PAX East, but apparently it didn't help. I mean, did they have a post on their Kickstarter about going to PAX? Future note, that's no play. That's the play. Tactical map. They have one stream, some screenshots. Oh, wait, there's another. Nope. Yeah, NAC has no idea who they are either. Oh, wait, who wrote about it? Wait. There is a lot of – wait, what is this? Press Roundup. Where's the – oh, Press Roundup. I see. Board Game Geek wrote about them. I know who Board Game Geek is. Indie Game Mag. I've heard of them. But – oh, god damn it. Okay. But yeah, there's like nothing
engaging. You need to get Will Wheaton to pimp your shit on the Sci-Fi Channel, and then you're a winner.
I would love that. I've only seen one episode of that show of his, but it was very entertaining. I've only seen the first episode.
It was pretty cool. And then he let the redheaded menace on there. And, you know.
Alicia Day?
Yeah.
Why do you call her that? She is like the sweetest person ever.
I know, but I don't like her.
I know a few people.
I don't like Veronica Belmont.
I don't know who that is.
Oh.
Okay, I don't know who that is. I've met Felicia Day several times. She's the sweetest person.
Oh, I know. She's probably great, right?
Okay, she's wonderful.
So here's the thing. My initial exposure to her was like one of those like nerd women glamour shots things of like hot chicks in game. So immediately I was just broken. I was like, nope.
Huh.
Because it's like don't try to glam it up and you know, get pushed. I think it was probably not her. It was probably like a publicist or something, because it was her and it was Veronica Belmont at the same time, right?
Who's Veronica Belmont?
She's on a show on Revision 3, and she also does the Sword and Laser podcast, and she's like also friends with the Wheaton. So
she's cute.
Yeah, she's. I don't know if they're married or just shacking.
Apparently her spouse is Ryan Block, whoever that is.
Right, who is the guy from Engadget.com. He's the founder of that. So
that poor balding man.
Yeah, they're doing quite well. But anyway, she's not unattractive. Yeah. In fact, she's hella cute. But the thing of like, if your geek cred is like hot chick who is a geek, you know, it's like, oh fuck you, get out, I'm done.
Don't let that hold you back.
It was an initial impression, and you've got about 10 seconds with me, and then I will carry that to my grave.
I guess that's not really fair, but okay.
Well,
but no, Felicia Day is very nice.
I think she's just overexposed at this point, because it's like, okay, so the guild, that was brilliant. It was fun and stuff. And then it's like she just keeps turning up on things, you know? It's like
That's because people love her.
I guess, yeah. But it was like when she showed up on Supernatural, I was just like, all right, the apocalypse is here. You know?
I think she's great on Supernatural. Well, the Oz episode wasn't great.
Yeah, but it's like she's the one girl, right? The one girl that is like photogenic and a nerd. Right? Is that how it is?
No.
Okay.
Well, no.
How come she's the only one that they ever have on damn television?
Because she's got some clout because she wrote the guild, she created the guild, she wrote it and everything, and you know she's been on some couple Joss Whedon properties.
Yeah.
So that gives her some clout.
Yeah. Okay.
Plus she's got talent. You know, I mean, she's not like a hack or anything. You know,
The one thing that I will say is girls who do get out there like that, right? It has got to be absolutely miserable to be attractive and a magnet for nerd attention. It has got to be miserable because have you ever read YouTube comments? I'm sure that her inbox.
Unfortunately, I have.
Oh God, I'm sure that her inbox is like just unreadable.
I got into a fight with someone on YouTube because I posted a video review of Endless Legend about a month ago.
Mm-hmm.
And someone got mad at me because I didn't read the lore that came from Endless Space and connected the two of them together.
Oh, God.
And I'm like, I don't care. I like this game. Why are you mad at me? Because I like this game. I don't get that.
You know,
I gave it a positive preview.
You know what's worse than YouTube commenters? Is people that comment on stories on Huffington Post.
Well, let's not get into the rabbit hole that is that the Huffington Post.
Well, just all those news sites, right? Like anybody that throws an opinion up in the the comments section of CNN or any major media news outlet, it just always descends into foulness.
Wasn't there a news site recently that just closed all comments? It was like "fuck you, people." A little while back,
I didn't hear it, but they should all do that. Really?
Yeah.
So.
So I feel bad. I feel like we've been mean to these the Boot Snake game.
No,
we've
given them a lot of exposure, a lot more than they had about a half hour. people want to like go see that. People have to go see the train wreck, right? So like their hits are going way up.
No, they're not here to defend themselves, and I feel bad because I've actually talked to one of the guys at Boot Snake. I think I did a Q&A. For that game, I thought I did one, or maybe I sent one, and I don't know. But I've talked to the guy, and he seems really nice. And yet, I'm finding all this stuff wrong, and I feel bad. But at the same time, oh my God, guys, come on! I don't know. it bugs me. I mean. I will say SEO has ruined the web for me. I can't look at any website now and not diagnose the fuck out of it. But this the more I learn about Kickstarter and the more I see Kickstarter campaigns succeed and fail, some fail just for whatever reason, bad timing, Kickstarter fatigue, you know. But some you see that they fail and you can clearly see why.
Right.
And I hate to say it. This is one where I can kind of see why.
They
and I feel bad.
They have orchestrated their failure. Maybe this is like that movie, The Producers, right? Where it's like, hey, we're going to get all this money and then like plan failure and then pocket them. You've seen The Producers, right?
Oh, the original. Yeah, not the new one.
Oh, the new one's not bad.
Really?
Yeah.
I do love both Nathan Lane and Matthew Broderick.
Yeah, and Will Ferrell singing Springtime for Hitler.
Will Ferrell does that.
Yes.
Oh, that's not to be
missed.
Oh, that is a very good reason to that you just knocked that movie up a few notches on my need to see list because I was like, well, I could take it or leave it, but now I could. Now that I know Will Ferrell does that part,
yeah.
I could,
but now that I've Godwin'd the podcast and we're at an hour and 40 minutes,
holy fuck!
I think now that we've actually said Nazis and Hitler, that we should check out.
Yeah, no, we did talk about some marketing.
And walk away.
We did talk about some marketing. Okay, folks, well, next week we've talked about how Free Space is 15 years old this year. Well, another space game is 15 years old this year, and that is X-Wing Alliance. So, Jim, do you have a copy of that? Because that's what we're going to talk about next week.
I do. I'm certain that I do, but it's getting it to run will be a challenge.
That'll be a good time, but I think there are ways you can do it.
Yeah,
we'll figure it
I've
out.
Had it run. I got it running in software mode, but well, now that I have a glide wrapper, I might be able to make it work.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah,
those glide wrappers are great things. But anyway, folks, that's what we're going to talk about next week is X-Wing Alliance. one of the kind of redheaded stepchild of the X-Wing and TIE Fighter.
I still have the Azzamine Starbase music in my head.
God, I don't even remember that.
You hear it and it'll earworm you.
Was that in the first part of the game where you're flying those beat up YT-300s?
Yes, sir. And then you're in the hangar and you talk to that like that droid that looks like a Commodore pet, right? You know what I mean? And
yeah, no, I know what you mean.
Yeah.
Oh wow, Knack, you never played a lot. You're not really missing a lot. I mean, if you played. Maybe we'll feel differently. Like, that happened kind of with Independence War, too. Remember, like, for a while, I was like, this game. And I was like, ooh, this game. But I don't know if Alliance is going to win us over. I've bounced off it a few times, to use your phrase, Knack.
And Knack posts a link to Underworld Ascension.
Yeah. Wow. Oh, my God. The guys from some of the Looking Glass folks, especially, was it the creative director of Ultima Underworld? Is basically making a new Alter World. How exciting is that shit?
I think it needs to look better than that screenshot. I hope that's from the old.
I don't even know if they have anything besides that to show yet. I mean, it's probably not coming out for at least 2 years.
Right, but I'm just saying, if that is the new game, if that's their target, I'm not there because it's like I can go to GOG and get the old ones and play them. Thanks.
And you can also get Arx Fatalis.
Didn't like that game so much.
Yeah, I tried clicking with it. I think it was the trying to make to cast a spell you actually have to draw out the rune.
Yeah, which is novel in thought, but
that I couldn't get my mind.
It's
around
it's like that. I got Witcher and Witcher 2 in my backlog, and ain't nobody got time for that. So you know.
All right, folks. So we have talked your ear off for a good hour and a half about a lot of stuff. I hope you've enjoyed the podcast. Next week, like I said, we'll be returning to more on-topic stuff with X-Wing Alliance. And as always, if you have any questions or comments, or maybe you want to, there's someone you want to bring on the show, you can hit us up on Twitter or Facebook or hail@spacegamejunkie.com. Thank you for listening, and have a great night, everyone. Bye-bye.